What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to episode 4.5. 4.5, yes, 4.5 in the Wrestling Wire. We had some technical difficulties on Sunday where we lost the recording of that whole episode. We recorded for like about an hour, lost the whole thing. Kind of made an impulsive decision to get rid of Podcastle as our source of distributing and recording podcasts to Podcastle, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. So it's been a stressful last 24 hours because I don't know. I can't delete the podcast from Spotify. I can't get into Apple Podcasts for creators. So I was lost. I'm not sure quite what to do. But we created a YouTube channel, and we have a Twitter account now. Both of those socials and all of our socials is just going to be wrestling_wire. And that's how you're going to be able to find us on Twitter or X and then YouTube. So this episode will be published through a link on X and hopefully through YouTube. Hopefully we can get an RSS feed to Spotify where we can upload this on Spotify. Apple Podcasts might just be a wash. But we're here since we didn't record Sunday, and we had a big Genesis event on Sunday night. I thought that we would just do a quick, brief recap on Genesis, on Raw, and look at some of the events in the weeks ahead. If you looked on Twitter, actually, our X account, you would see that we plan to recap Maximum Carnage, SmackDown, look at some TNA possibilities now that they have a multi-year partnership deal with WWE. We did all sorts of things. So I apologize truly for losing that clip. I don't really have a graphic for today. I don't have an agenda. I just wanted to talk. Just a quick talk here. So let's talk about NXT and TNA. Multi-year deal that is going to allow superstars to bounce between NXT and TNA, I believe, but also between WWE and TNA. I think this is huge for wrestling, especially after Genesis, like watching Genesis. I think it was amazing. Like they had a great show, a great turnout, great crowd. And I think this is going to be huge just both ways for both WWE and TNA. So a little preview or a little review here. They had a couple matches. I'm not going to go through every match on Genesis. I just wanted to talk about some of my favorites. The first one was Tessa Blanchard and Jordynne Grace. Tessa Blanchard's first match back in TNA in like, 5 years now? And Jordynne Grace has been TNA's top female talent, I would say. Male and female, probably. She's been so dominant. She's been great. So it was really cool to watch this match. The crowd definitely got involved there a little bit. But Tessa Blanchard wins this match. Fans were upset with that result. And now it is rumored that that was Jordynne Grace's last match in TNA. So the question is will we see her at the Royal Rumble again? Will we see her in NXT? Where will we see Jordynne Grace? Tessa Blanchard, obviously, is going to work her way through TNA, maybe become, Knockouts Division champion. We'll see what happens. I think these two have great in-ring chemistry. Very back and forth match, like especially for Blanchard's first match back in TNA in 5 years. Like I thought that she looked fantastic in the ring. Jordynne Grace is an awesome performer. She was going to bring it. These two delivered and had a great match. And it was just really good. It was one of the best matches all week, in my opinion. I feel like. It was one of the best matches I've seen since I started this podcast. Really, like last week we talked about Penta's debut a little bit. and how great of a match I thought that was between him and Gable. Gosh, I'm thinking about all the it was probably one of the greatest matches like this year so far. It was so good. It was a long match. You didn't know who was going to win or when it was going to happen. I think there was, like I said, in-ring chemistry was outstanding. Now, what's next? I think I said Tessa Blanchard works her way up in TNA. Maybe we'll see her in NXT. But for Jordynne Grace, I think it's WWE. I don't think we go back to NXT for her, especially with Roxanne Perez. I don't think there's anything for her to accomplish there. I think that we bring her right up to WWE. Now, I think that that is scary because at first she only had one really storyline with Roxanne Perez in NXT. So she could get lost in that shuffle between NXT and WWE. But I think she's that good. She definitely proved it in this match. And I'm very, very excited to see the future of Jordynne Grace. This was one of the best matches all night. And if it wasn't for... the main event of the night, I would say it's probably the best match of the whole entire show. Like I said, there was a match after this. Don't really want to get into that one. What I want to get to next is the TNA Tag Team Championships between the Hardys and the Rascals. I think I said this on the podcast on Sunday. Like it was like it's a good match. Like I think like the Hardys and the Rascals would be a good match. It was just like the storyline like made a ton of sense. But the big thing that happened here is that Fraxium from NXT, Nathan Frazier and Axiom, crashed TNA Genesis, crashed the party, and. I think they called out the Rascals there. So the match itself was like okay, nothing special like compared to other matches on this card. I think that the Hardys looked pretty old in this match. Like if for the first time like watching them wrestle in a while, like they looked old. I think the Rascals are pretty good now with Fraxium invading here. I think it sets up an NXT tag team match between the Rascals and Fraxium. Maybe next month and on Vengeance Day, we'll see how this story develops. Like I said, it was just really cool to see Fraxium and NXT get involved in this kind of match. We'll see where it goes. Like it was like I said, like I don't really know what other way to put it. Like it was a boring match. Hardys retain. Fraxium comes out, and tension between them and the Rascals. So we'll see them. I'm sure pretty soon, maybe tomorrow night or tonight on NXT. Oh my gosh, it's tonight. NXT is tonight. We'll see. I think we'll get a lot of backlash tonight, which is great. We'll talk more about that later. The next match was Masha Slamovich versus Rosemary in a no DQ, falls count anywhere. There's a lot of weapons like used during this match around the ring. I think some of the weapons that we've seen between like AEW with the barbed wire, WWE with the basic candlestick chairs, table, blah, 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 like, you see Slamovich use like a steel pipe and clock Rosemary in the back. And like Rosemary sprays some like green mist. It was pretty cool to see. It was honestly like really, really solid. Really solid. Not as good as Blanchard and Jordynne Grace. But I think that it was really good. They both kind of got beat up there. And... Masha with the victory at the end was the right move because bang, I called this one on Sunday's podcast and I really wish that it aired because like some of the stuff that happened, like it happened and I'm like, oh my God, like I called it. Cora Jade shows up. She crashes the party.
tension between them. So now we've seen Masa Slamovich on NXT. We've seen Cora Jade on TNA. I think it's time. Let's see them on Vengeance Day. TNA Knockouts Championship on the line. Cora Jade, Masa Slamovich. I think Cora Jade is the perfect, perfect person to do this. She like screams TNA to me. Like she was like perfect to challenge for the TNA Women's Knockout Championship. And yeah, I'm pretty sure that we'll see some backlash tonight. Hopefully we get Cora Jade. Hopefully we get Fraxium, like I said. So that was kind of the two main like interference things that happened with NXT, which I was pretty pumped about to see them there live. Awesome crowd reaction was awesome to both of them. Two retains, but I think it sets up possible stories in the future. Now, main event. This was my favorite match of the night, and I don't know if it's because like the result. I mean, the last like half of the match, I would say, or like the last like 10 minutes maybe, it was awesome. Like really, like I didn't know, like I keep saying this. I didn't know who was gonna win. And that's what I love about wrestling. Like I love when I don't know who's gonna win. I just think that it was a long time coming. It was a long time coming. That's all I'm going to put it. I feel like Nick Nemeth is always due to put on such a great performance. Joe Hendry, his chemistry and his gimmick is unbelievable. It's been so good for so long. And he just really deserved this title win. I didn't really see a ton of chemistry between the two in the ring, which may have like caused some faulties during the match, but I think that it was the right decision. Joe Hendry being the TNA champion is going to be awesome because I think it's going to set up some storylines. You know, you saw Hendry challenge Ethan Page for the NXT championship. I'd love to see Page challenge Hendry for the TNA championship. I'd also love to see Joe Hendry in WWE, like I said. Also, this could set up Nick Nemeth at the Royal Rumble. Like, anything could happen. And it was a really great match, in my opinion. I was really pumped about the result, pumped about the entire match. Like I said, the fan involvement was awesome during the match. And yeah, long overdue for Joe Hendry. But I definitely think that for now, Hendry will be staying with TNA. That's why I said, like, who's going to come over and fight him? Could it be AJ Styles when he comes back, you know, have him have one more run with the TNA championship. And then, you know, you get Hendry and WWE. I think there's a lot of possibilities. It opens the door for a lot of things. Talking about Sunday's episode, I talked about Nick Nemeth, Joe Hendry. I talked about how I wanted Nemeth and Hendry in the Rumble and all of this other stuff. So I think I'm just going to kind of do the last half of the segment because I previewed Genesis. And then I kind of went over some possibilities in dream matches. So I think I'm going to do it over again. And that'll be right now. So some possibilities that we've seen online. The Hardy Boys obviously talked about on Insight with Chris Van Vliet that they are interested in going to WWE for one last run, especially as the TNA Tag Team Champions. So we could definitely see maybe a surprise appearance down the line. Also, Nick Nemeth and Joe Hendry would be perfect fits for WWE, especially after their match at Genesis, whatever. But now that Nemeth lost the title, I think it opens the door for him to show up at the Rumble, make a surprise appearance, maybe make a run with WWE for a little bit before he goes back to TNA. Joe Hendry, not so sure what he's going to do or what's next for him after winning, but it was a long do win, and I'm very happy for him. Also, somebody I'd love to see from TNA, not really TNA, but someone to go to WWE in this deal. I think it also opens the door for Matt Cardona to show back up in WWE. And now that we got the Rascals and Fraxium, and same with Masha Slamovich, I think that we could see them both in NXT or WWE very, very soon. So from the WWE side going to TNA, Cedric Alexander tweeted, you know, I'm in love with like WWE, wrestling, social media. Cedric Alexander tweeted that he would be interested in going to TNA and wrestling in TNA. I think we could get a good match between him and Moose, even him and Joe Hendry for the title. I think there's a lot of talent that could be compatible with Cedric Alexander and TNA, especially as his character is kind of run out dry in WWE. Also, AJ Styles, that's the big thing. Everyone wants to see AJ Styles when he returns have one more run in TNA before he retires. I think it's the perfect time to do that when he comes back, especially with this deal being announced. So definitely look forward and look ahead to AJ Styles being in TNA when he comes back. Also, another one I saw online that I was a little less familiar with was Charlotte Flair going to TNA. You know, we've seen her in NXT before. She's won championships in NXT and in WWE. Could we see her now be a champion in TNA? I think it's very possible. I wouldn't say it's likely, but it's possible. I would say anything's possible, really, with this new deal between WWE and TNA. So that's that. Some dream matches that I wrote down for the show on Sunday. I didn't really have a chance to go back and fix them. The first one out of the gate was like, I'd love to see Masa Slamovich versus Cora Jade. Like, if you check Twitter after, I will send you this page. I wrote it down. I said it was teased on NXT. Again, now it's teased on TNA. I think we're getting it, so I'd love to see it. Another thing now I think is more possible since Jordynne Grace is moving on from TNA was Jordynne Grace and Rhea Ripley for the Women's Championship. I think that both these women are absolute powerhouses, absolutely workhorses and machines in the women's, in the respectful women's divisions. Now that Rhea Ripley is kind of moving on from Liv Morgan, it seems like, could we see a possible storyline between Jordynne Grace and Rhea Ripley? I'd love to see that match. I think it would be a hard-hitting and very powerful match. Hopefully we get it in 2025. I was thinking about possible opponents for AJ Styles, and I thought, like, none better. I thought that him and Moose, the X-Division champion, he retained at Genesis. I think that it would be awesome to see him, Moose and AJ Styles fight each other. I think that they could put on a really good match. I also think AJ Styles and Joe Hendry could put on a great match. But with that being said, Joe Hendry also talked about how between this new deal with TNA and WWE and who is his dream opponent, and he says it's John Cena. And that's what I wrote down before this interview was recorded. I think Joe Hendry and John Cena would be an awesome match. I think it was a great, it would be a great opportunity for John Cena to put Joe Hendry over. I'm talking really fast, I know that. But yeah, I think that there's a lot of possible opponents and some great opponents that Joe Hendry could face in WWE. But seeing him fight John Cena would be symbolic, would be a statement match for TNA and WWE. And I would just absolutely love to see it. All right, that's that with the TNA, WWE things. I'm sure NXT will have some more, so we will talk more about this on Thursday. We're going to do two really like quick episodes this week, one Tuesday and Thursday. And then just announced on our social media platforms is that Saturday morning countdown to Saturday night's main event will take live. We're going to go over every single match, every segment on the card, everything that's led up to it, everything that will happen after. We're very, very excited. We're going to do one this Saturday for Saturday night's main event. And we're going to do one next Saturday, February 1st, for the Royal Rumble. So both kind of kickoff shows, pre-shows. We're calling it the countdown show. I am very excited to do it. And so, yeah, we got three episodes this week and Sunday. So four, really, because Sunday we're recording the SmackDown. The SmackDown fallout, Saturday night's main event fallout, all of that kind of good stuff. All right, what I'm going to do here is I watched Raw last night. I know we're at 20 minutes. I didn't really want to go over like 45 minutes, so I'm going to try to do this really quick. I know I'm going to try to do this quick, but we'll see. So I'm just going to get right into it. Some notes from the show. Some notes that happened during the show. I took it down. Like if it wasn't in what I was going to say, I wrote it down. CM Punk segment, CM Punk, Obviously, he's in the Rumble match, but he wants to kind of take on he wants to end Hulkamania, he says. I don't think that we'll see that soon. I don't know really what the point of that was, but something to note for sure. Also, the JBL return was pointless, but he returned on commentary in the second match between Rey Mysterio and Kofi Kingston. So I didn't really see any point of that. There was nothing special there. I know they advertised it, but there wasn't really anything special between JBL and the actual show itself. So Monday Night Raw from the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas, kicks off with Jey Uso coming through the crowd like he always does, gets him going. Michael Cole is going crazy right ringside. And yeah, right when Jey starts talking, Gunther's music hits, and he interrupts Jey Uso to start the show. And really, the dialogue between these two, at first, Gunther just grilled Jey, absolutely ripped into him and bullied him on the mic. Talked about how Jay's not worthy, Jey will never win, like, it's embarrassing that he even has to fight and defend his title against Jey. And then, you know, Uso kind of stands his ground. He's like, you know what, I main evented WrestleMania, you've never done that. I'm sure we're going to get Gunther in a WrestleMania main event at some point in his career. But yeah, they kind of just, like, towards the end, they bullied each other. I think Gunther definitely got the best of Uso on the mic. But then at the end, Gunther tries to attack Jey Uso. Jey kind of stands his ground, and they have an awesome shot of him, Jey, holding up the World Heavyweight Championship at the end of that segment. And I really, really, really can feel an upset brewing. Like, I really can. I really can feel it. Like, especially during that segment, like, man, I would love to see Jey win. And I will believe Jey will win this match until Gunther taps him out or gets the 1-2-3. Then I'll believe it. But I really, I believe. Like, I believed in Joe Hendry. I believe in Jey Uso this Saturday, the main event. I'm very, very excited about it. I thought that this segment set up the match perfectly. Like, now there's some beef between these two. And like I said, that we're going to get a really good match there. And I'm very, very excited about it. And we'll talk more about this on Saturday. So hopefully you guys can join us Saturday. And if you can't join us Saturday, I think we're going to try to do it live. We're going to do it live. But we'll definitely have it there so you can go back and watch it maybe after the show or right before the show or as the show's going. Anyways, the first match of the night, I know I just said second match, but the first actual match of the night was Rey Mysterio and Kofi Kingston. The New Day tried to offer JBL some money backstage to kind of, I don't know, like fix it towards their side or whatever. It doesn't work. You know, the New Day make their entrance and the boos are ringing. Ugh, everyone hates them. New Day sucks. Yeah, it was awesome to see. I'm kind of curious to see where their team goes from here, especially since they're heels now. Maybe E comes back, fights him. We'll see. I don't know. The chemistry wasn't great. I hate using this word because I don't believe in this word at all, but I didn't know what else to write. But I said that there's a couple of botched, I hate that word, botched moves. It looked like that their chemistry was just off, like especially ringside. And, you know, someone could get seriously hurt by that. It was just like a failed move. Like, you know, they messed up. They made a mistake. It's all right. It happens. It's part of the game. Like, not everything is going to be perfect. I feel like just the in-ring chemistry wasn't there, which took away from the match. It was an all right match. I love the result of Rey winning at the end. And then, you know, the New Day just full-on attacking Rey. And then the LWO comes out and saves Rey after his victory. And so maybe it sets up an LWO versus New Day match next week or something. But, yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with Rey Mysterio's character here. I love the result of him winning. I think that especially after the loss last week, get back on the horse, win this match, and keep going from here. Wasn't a pretty win by any means, but it was a win. A win's a win. Kofi Kingston and the New Day are staying losing. The next segment was the Sami Zayn promo where he declares for the Royal Rumble. And then he kind of has this passionate, passionate promo about, you know, how he loves the crowd. He's had a great career. He loves his career. He loves the fans. But he says, darn it, does he want that championship? He wants the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, the one he's never won more than anything in the world. And right when he's passionate, his ex-best friend Kevin Owens shows up, who says and swears that he has Sammy's back in the Rumble. He wants him to win the Royal Rumble match. But all he's asking is for Sammy's help in return. So what does that mean? We saw Sami Zayn and Seth Rollins have some dialogue. Sami Zayn came to Rollins' aid. So maybe we get, like, depending on the order of the matches, like if the men's match is first and we get Sami Zayn, like, or Seth Rollins eliminate Sami Zayn after he helped them, maybe we get in some interference in the title match later, you know, where Sami Zayn helps KO win the title. Or maybe we get a Zayn-Owens feud in the future. I'm not really sure what's next, but it's just one of those things where we're going to have to wait and see what happens between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I think that we'll definitely, without a doubt, see something. And especially maybe if Sami doesn't help Kevin, Kevin will, you know, throw Sami out of the Rumble or something like that. The next match was between two SmackDown superstars and now Raw. The busiest WWE superstar on the planet, maybe besides Cody Rhodes, as of right now. The role model, Bayley, took on Nia Jax. It was a really, really solid match. You can see that the chemistry between these two is firing off all cylinders. I think that the match was great itself. It told a great story. Again, Roxanne Perez ringside. And Bayley seemed distracted by Roxanne Perez. And that's when Jax was able to just get the job done, take care of business, no distractions, and dominate Bayley. She has that great finishing move at the end where she just sits on her. I think that's just a funny move. I thought it was a great match. Thought it was better than the first match between Mysterio and Kingston. But the real action happens at the end. As we know, before the show, there was a scene right when Raw started of Nia Jax kind of attacking and ambushing Rhea Ripley backstage. Jax is definitely looking to get a title back, probably not from Tiffany Stratton, but she's looking to get Rhea Ripley's title for sure. Rhea Ripley's music hits after Jax kind of beats Bayley, keeps going there. And then, yeah, it's just an all-out brawl. Jax and Ripley have to be separated by security. Ripley jumps off the announce table, kind of keeps going at Jax. It was kind of an awesome moment. And, you know, now the hatred is real between the two. And we are getting this match at this Saturday night main event. It'll be Rhea Ripley's first title defense. And I think it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Like, because, you know, Rhea Ripley's strong, but can she pull off the riptide on Jax and get the win? I think that'll be if she can, she'll win the match. If she can't, then it'll be hard for her. Good segment, great match. The next one was Penta and Pete Dunne. My boy Penta, love him. This is going to sound like glazing, but this is what my note said. I wrote, Penta is a freaking star, and I'm really falling in love with his character and his moveset. Also, he was kind of cocky during the match. He's like, he said, Cerro Miendo, like to Pete Dunne's face, like mid-match. Love the cockiness there. I thought the Mexican Destroyer was a great move last week. The move of this week from Penta was really his Penta driver. I think it's such a creative and awesome move. And I'm really, really hoping that WWE doesn't bury him. I'm really excited for what's next, especially with Backlash being in Mexico. Oh my gosh, I'd love to see him win a title there, or even sooner, really. He's a great superstar, great character, and we're lucky to have him in WWE. I wouldn't say this was a complete squash match, because, you know, Pete Dunne got some offense in, but there was no way Penta was losing this match. It's kind of predictable. Next one, this was the second to last one of the night. It was Damage Control and Pure Fusion Collective. I thought there was a lot of momentum-changing moments. And all four women really impressed me throughout the match. Again, Dakota Kai showing she's worthy of, you know, championship at some point. Io Sky looked like WWE Women's Champion Io Sky. And Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark really held their own during this match. And I did think Damage Control was going to win. And I'm happy that they did win this match. But I'm just not so sure what's going to be next for Damage Control after this. Maybe a split up? I don't think it was really... kind of, it wasn't mentioned, but like I think like if they're bored with this storyline, I think that they could definitely go with a split up at some point in the future. Again, this was kind of just a PSA for all wrestling events that ads ruin momentum. I don't think the ads ruined the momentum so much of this match because we could see the momentum changing, and you know, the back and forth all match, but just in general, I thought in the main event there was a couple of ads too. So we'll talk about the main event. Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre, WrestleMania rematch. They promoted the crap out of this match. And I think the reason why it was a great match was because, A, it was back and forth, and B, that means you didn't know who was going to win, and it felt like you were just on the edge of your seat the entire match. I think that the best moments from this match were the superplex spot. You know, Rollins hits the superplex spot, and then the Michinoku driver by McIntyre on Rollins. I thought that both those moves were the statement moves. But, you know, again, like Drew kind of rolling out of the superplex, like love to see him like sell it a little more there, you know. I didn't mind the ending, you know, Seth Rollins. You know, it was back and forth, like missed Claymore, you know, failed pedigree, blah, blah, blah. But Rollins gets the jackknife pin win. He rolls him up and wins, and Drew was furious after the match. And I don't mind the ending. It wasn't so much rushed, but I didn't mind it because I think it further develops the story between Rollins, McIntyre, Punk, all of these guys. Now Zayn kind of inserted himself. But McIntyre definitely gets the last laugh, even though he got the loss. You know, he just beats Seth Rollins to pieces. And then Sami Zayn comes out, like I said, and kind of protects Seth Rollins there. But at the end of the match, when Drew is working Seth Rollins in one of the corners, Sami Zayn kind of lines up the Helluva kick so it would land on Drew McIntyre, but Drew escapes. It hits Seth Rollins, and that was kind of that. I'm really curious to see what happens next between Zayn and KO, Zayn and Rollins. I think we'll all get that. Only time will tell. Okay. So quickly going over NXT and Dynamite this week. NXT tonight will feature three championship matches. The first one is the Meta Girls, Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson versus Bianca Belair and Naomi. Those are for the World Tag Team titles. The next championship match is the North American Championship match between Tony D'Angelo and Ridge Holland. And the third one is Uba Femi versus Eddie Thorpe for the NXT Championship. I see three retains tonight. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Although I'd love to see Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson take them from Belair and Naomi, especially as the tensions rose on SmackDown last week between her, Cargill, all that sort of drama. Also, Lince Dorado made his NXT return at a house show over the weekend. So maybe we look for a Lince Dorado return. And of course, TNA. NXT, we'll see some backlash between Fraxium and Cora Jade, I'm sure of it. AEW kind of has a stacked card this week. They also have championship matches for the tag team championships and some backlash from last week. The Hurt Syndicate are going to take on Private Party for the AEW Tag Team Championships. I think it's the perfect time to put the straps on the Hurt Syndicate. Samoa Joe returns to in-ring competition against Nick Wayne. I don't see him losing this match. Julia Hart, coming off a win over Harley Cameron, will face Jamie Hayter. And Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay will come face-to-face. They won't have a match, but they will come face-to-face after Will Ospreay kind of saved Omega last week. And then the main event of the night is Pac versus Cope. I think that further develops the story of Mox and Cope getting a match soon. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Big things to look forward to this week. And I'm very, very excited to see what happens next. That's all I really have for the show. I talked really fast. So I hope it wasn't a stressful listen. I've had a stressful 24 hours. So if you find this episode, I'm happy you found it. And if you find it in like 5 days, that's fine too. We're looking to get back on the horse here with distributing the podcast. We're going to figure it out. We hope you enjoyed Genesis and Raw. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. We hope you look forward to NXT and Dynamite. We got a lot of wrestling in our future, especially TNA's Thursday night too, so maybe we'll get some backlash there as well. As always, thank you guys so much for joining me today. I love doing this. It's my pleasure. And until then, we'll see you on Thursday morning. We got an action-packed week. Buckle in and get ready, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you Thursday for the last one before the countdown to Saturday night's main event. Thank you guys so much. Have a good night.